You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Kurt Owen, and welcome to Victory is Assured. We've been talking about knowing and believing the love of God. If you've missed any part of these, I ask you to go to KurtOwen.com, KurtOwen.com, and you can listen to anything you've missed. You can also sign up for our podcast and listen to them all that way. In addition, we have a free daily devotional on knowing and believing the love of God. It takes you about 90 seconds today and then gives you some personal instructions, some things to help you get it solidified down in your heart and mind. Now, we've been talking about specifically about the way that God loves, the way that God sees love, so that you can learn to expect God to love you just that way. So we're here. And we've been looking at what the parable was commonly called, the prodigal son. We looked at it all last week. And in Luke 15:11, now a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to the father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided to them his livelihood. Now remember, this is divided between the two sons now. So when the younger son leaves, everything that is left is the older son's. And not many days after, the younger son gathered together all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Now the father was not in want, because the father's way of living worked. The younger son's way of living didn't. Now, then, so he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, sent him into fields to feed swine, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. So again, his decisions are taking him to a place of lack. They're taking him to a place of destruction. The father did not put him here. The boy put himself here by the decisions that he made. But when he came to himself, and that's what has to happen in order for you to be helped, and in order for you to help anybody, somebody's got to come to themselves. And in particular, it's the person making the bad choices. How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, go to my father, and say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." So he thinks that the father is going to be impressed by his talking about what a worming is, but the father is not. And he rose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now this happened completely independent of anything that the son is going to say. The father did not wait for him to repent, did not wait for him to apologize. He runs to him and is loving him. Then it says this. He says, and his son said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son." Now, the father doesn't even listen to this trash, doesn't even pay any attention to it, doesn't even get to the part, say, "Let me be a hired servant." But what does the father do? He said to his servants, "Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet." Now, notice here specifically it says, "Bring out the best robe." So the son has just repented, and he's receiving the best the father has to offer. He's just repented. He's just turned. Repent means to turn and go in another direction. Obviously, that's happened because he was going in one direction, turned around, and showed back up. That's how the father knew that there had been a change. Now, notice here, the son does not have to earn the goodness of the father. He doesn't have to be good for 6 weeks to receive anything. No, the father immediately begins to show him grace and favor. And it says this, it said, "And bring the fatted calf here, kill it, and let us eat and be merry." Now notice here, let's just be honest. If you were willing to eat pig slop, and they wouldn't give you that, you'd have been happy if daddy had given you a Twinkie, right? You'd been happy with daddy if he'd have given you a cracker, but he doesn't. He says, "Bring out the very best. Bring the fatted calf. Get me something to feed this boy. The big one. I want a big steak. Oh, no, we're not getting an 8-ounce steak today. We're getting us a 32-ounce steak." That's what we're going to do. Why? Because I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to love him. Did he earn this? No, he didn't. All he did was come to Father's house. That's all he's done. The Father was not impressed by even by his words about, I'm just a dog and worthy to be here. Not impressed at all. And it says here that what the Father, now notice what the Father says, for my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. You know, this is something, it's too often people say, well, you're dead to me. You know, and I understand what they're saying, but this is kind of an unusual situation because you can tell by the Father's reaction, he'd never told his son, you are dead to me. But by the son's choices, he made himself dead to the Father. And what's interesting is the Father honored that choice. He honored the choice that he made to be dead to him. You know, this goes back to the authority of man. Why would God allow, you know, suffering and all this other stuff? Because he honors choices. He honors those choices. It's not God's choice. It was not the Father's choice that he ended up in the hog trough. It was not the Father's choice that he had to eat pig slop. It's not the Father's choice that he lost everything. That wasn't the Father's choice. But he was honoring the choice that the Son had made. And so now that he's made a different choice, the Father brings the very best. Your heavenly Father is not holding your past against you. If you have turned and come back, the very best of God is available to you. He loves you. You do not have to prove you're going to be good. You do not have to prove that you're going to get things right. No, he's in love with you. He wants to help you. Okay? So he brings in the very best. And you are making yourself alive again when you come back. It's not that he cut you off. You cut yourself off by your choices. You know, a lot of times people try to say, well, if you love me, you do this. No, if I loved you, I'm going to respect your choice. Yeah, but I'm choosing to ask for help. But no, but you don't really want help because you're unwilling to leave the hog trough. You're unwilling to leave the decisions that make the hog trough. You don't want help. You want relief. And we don't, that's not what we're here to do. We're not here to call to give relief. We're called to give help. But they have to come to themselves. And I've kind of beat that. So he said, now his older son was in the field. Now, I think it's important to remember now that when, go back up to verse, is it 15? No, it's 12. It says, and the younger son said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And so when this kid comes back and and they're making merry, they're having a party. Notice the father's not withholding anything. But then there was an older boy, a more mature one, that whereas the younger said, gimme, that's not what happened with the older son. But when the younger son left, it's important to remember that everything that's left is the older son's. It's all his. And so he says, now the older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. Right? And he was angry and would not go in. Okay, so have you ever seen older Christians get mad that baby Christians are receiving easily? They can't figure out why they don't receive easily anymore? Well, you're about to find out. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. Now, notice this again. The father is reaching out to the son. It's not the son reaching out to the father. It's the father reaching out to the son because the father's in love. He's pleading with his son. So he answered his father and said, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time, and you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, not even his brother, this son of yours, who has devoured his livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. Let's stop there before we go on, because, again, this makes an important point. They evidently knew exactly what was going on with the younger son. Now, this man is a man of influence, obviously. He's got servants and all of this. He knew what was happening with the son, and he never sought to undo his choice. Never. You know, so often we ask the Lord to undo our choices while still continuing to make bad choices. Here's the thing. In order for the Father to truly help you, you've got to make good choices. But there is no choice you've made that's so big that the love of the Father won't help with. The goodness of God. Listen, this guy was a man of influence here in this story, but your Heavenly Father is a greater person of influence. You can turn to Him. I know He's mad at me over what I've been doing. No, He isn't. He might not like it, but Isaiah says that He would not be wroth with you nor rebuke you after Jesus came. If you want help, help is available. If you want to change, change is available. You can turn around and come back to Father's house, even if by your choices you ended up in a really messed up situation. But you have to make a decision. Well, yeah, but the Father, you don't know what I've done. I don't, but your Father does, and He still wants you at His house. Notice how they knew that this kid had blown everything and how he'd blown it with prostitutes and all this other stuff. And what is the Father's response? I'm running to Him, I'm going to receive Him, and I'm going to love Him. Now, we're going to get in tomorrow about how a mature child of God ought to act and how the love of the Father doesn't really, it expects things out of you. But for today, if you want to come back to Father's house, quit looking at what you've done wrong and look at the Father's love. Michael's going to give you an opportunity right now that you don't want to pass up.
Kurt Owen wants you to know that God really loves you. He sent His Son Jesus as a substitute for you. He took on your sins so you would not have to pay the penalty for sin. He also took on your sickness, disease, and injury so that you would not have to suffer from them. In order for you to receive the benefits of this redemptive power, you simply must accept Jesus as your Savior and make Him your Lord. This is an easy and simple thing to do and will have wonderful eternal effects. All you need to do is believe that He is alive and that He loves you. If you want the power of the living God to change your life from the inside out, simply repeat this simple prayer. Jesus, please come into my heart. Please save me. I believe that You are alive and that You love me and that You gave Your life for me. I believe that because I am asking, You are becoming alive in me right now. You are making me a new creation. I give You my old life while I accept Your life. I also make You my Lord. I commit to do what You say with the understanding that You will never burden me with things that I cannot do, but rather You lovingly teach me step by step. Holy Spirit, please also come into my life and empower me with the very power of God, the way that Jesus said You would. Father, thank You for giving Your Son and making this provision for me so that now I can actually call You Father. If you have just prayed this prayer, we would like to put a couple of things in your hand so that you will get some help on the path of your new life. Simply email the words, I have been saved, to connect@kurtowen.com. Everybody in this ministry will continue to pray for you. We all love you, and we all want you to have a wonderful, wonderful life in God. Welcome to the family of God.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler Pro Rodeo and Horseman headquarters. They also have a boot department with Ariat, Double H, Carolina, Justin, Rocky Durango, Dan Post, Lucchese Boots,